Forward Momentum.
Forward Momentum presents Sea of Stars, a voyage of the space cruiser Argo. In the year 2212, the Earth was subjugated by the Comet Empire. After 5 years of occupation, the Empire has decreed that our world must be destroyed and humanity exterminated. Even now, the Comet Emperor himself journeys to Earth with all the might at his command. Our only hope is a fragile alliance, a handful of rogues and rebels against all the might of the Andromeda Galaxy. The Argo has landed on a mysterious world orbiting the new star of Telazart. Derek Wildstar and the captive, Xavier, both were visited by ghosts of long-dead loved ones who showed them visions of their past, and more ominously, the future. Deciding on a course of action, Wildstar has ordered the crew back to the ship. He cannot know that on the far side of the system's primary, a Comet Empire patrol group has found them, and is only moments away from launching an all-out attack. Alone, in a cathedral of towering cedar trees, a lone figure revels in his solitude. Violin in hand, strains of music rise to the heavens in glorious release, when a very different sound brings the serenade to an ungainly halt.
Of course, it's about time.
Dashing off to the trees, Hans Schneider makes for the impromptu landing field, where the Star Force's exploratory vehicles are gathered. But he isn't alone. The rest of the crew are rushing back to the ship as well. Among the last to arrive at the beachhead landing site are Michael Vega, Neville Drake, and May Gideon. Gideon's mind is still struggling with the vastly expanded horizon before her. Her experience in the cave and the weight of the odd ring she now wears have altered her future in ways she can't begin to comprehend. But now she puts all that aside as the pilot reflexes of a hot scramble take over. She sprints for her astrofighter, absently waving as Vega and Drake change course for the last landing craft, which sits empty nearby. Thus, the sight that greets her at the foot of her cockpit ladder is a complete shock.
May, stop right there.
Philippe, what the heck happened? You look like you got hit by a truck.
May, just follow me. There's no time to explain. We're going over to that landing craft, and we're getting out of here.
You're deserting?
No, I'm afraid it's a bit more serious than that. Now, move.
Alright, the engines are charging. We'll be airborne in just a few minutes.
These old troop transports can't hold an engine temp when idle.
Gentlemen, we're stealing your ride. Get out.
Philippe? May!
I am taking this transport, and we are getting the hell out of here. Now get off, or I will shoot you.
You bloody deserter.
Let her go, Philippe!
Why are you doing this, Philippe?
I'm not going to leave you to die.
The Empire found us. You led them right to us.
It isn't like that.
Then how exactly is it?
They're called Sarah May. Imperial Intelligence has my sister.
Please, Philippe. I know this is bad, you know it too, but you haven't crossed any lines yet. We can still fix this thing. Just put the gun down.
Shut your mouth! The last person I want to hear from is you. Don't you all get it yet? This is Endgame. He planned this little trap.
he...
Come on, we have to move. What is all this?
Hans, get his gun.
Oh, just shoot them and let's go. We are late already.
Hans, I don't understand. It was your plan we used to beat the Scourge fleet.
Yes, a plan that was designed to alert them to our presence. Who would have thought their commander would be so blasted incompetent? Shoot them or I will shoot you. Then your dear little sister as well.
Traitor.
May, no!
What? Let go of me, girl!
You bloody monster! No! Philippe!
Don't you touch her!
I'll take that, Hans. Oh, still alive, huh? Gutshot. Bet that hurts.
Philippe, we're gonna get you to the dock. Just hang on. Hang on.
Don't bother. We both know what this sort of wound means.
Why? Why'd you...
Why did I trade Sarah's life for yours? Do you really not know?
His sister is already dead. They manufactured evidence of her survival to lead them on, and then they shot her.
I thought so. I hoped. I think I knew otherwise. At least I didn't kill her. Vega, come here.
Philippe?
Vega, you make her happy. Do you hear me? If you ever hurt her, I'll know it, and I'll rip your lungs out.
Philippe.
I love you, May. I always have, and always will.
Aboard his command vessel, Major Terrell watches his trap take shape about the Argo.
Excellent. Have the leading elements continue to direct the Argo along that course. While she is still deep in the atmosphere, her firepower and accuracy are greatly diminished.
Do you think they'll run for space then?
Eventually. But by that time, we'll be perfectly positioned to cut off their retreat. And we can simply obliterate them for a moment.
The last of the Argo's secondary craft are back aboard her now.
Good. I'd hate to have to track down any stragglers. Come to heading 45x9 and prepare a volley. Time to crush their last hope.
Captain, the last landing craft is back aboard. Tiger Lead is joining the squadron.
Right. Maintain evasive pattern Delta for now. If we can stay ahead of their encirclement, we can break out of the atmosphere and take them on even terms.
Engine output is steady. ECS lines are a bit sluggish. I think the long-range warp may have done more damage than we suspected.
Just keep the power coming, Venture. This is not the neighborhood to run out of gas in.
Combat Chief Vega and Navigation Officer Drake, you are both late.
Sorry, we got delayed.
Where's Hans? I thought he was coming with you.
Later.
Incoming energy signature from dead ahead.
Radar contact. Enemy ships just beyond the horizon. We show 6 battleships and a dozen missile destroyers.
Rounds to the hunters. Mr. Drake, emergency ascent. Take us straight up if you have to. If we can't get out of the atmosphere, they'll just hammer us.
Aye, Captain. Give me full combat speed, Geordi.
That's all she's got, Drake.
Captain, the enemy formation has a clear shot of our underbelly.
Maintain course.
They're charging their primary weapons.
This is gonna be close.
Stop!
What the?
Intense fluctuation in EM field of planet. Danger!
Sir, massive energy spike from new Telesort.
We will not allow you to sully this pristine place with bloodshed. Leave now. This is your only warning.
What in space is that?
Trelaina.
Captain. You know that 500-foot feminine apparition?
We're intercepting a signal from the Imperial fleet to... Trelaina, I guess.
Let's hear it.
This is Major Terrell of the Comet Empire. This ship you are protecting is an enemy of our Empire, and we will destroy it. Stand aside, or we'll destroy your world as well.
Be gone.
EM field spikes coalescing around Emery craft.
The enemy ships, they're disappearing.
Captain, it's like the Imperial ships are forcibly being warped out of the system.
This space has known enough death. I will not permit there to be further bloodshed.
What just happened? We just went by default.
I think they made the planet angry.
Let's not do the same. Recall order to all fighters, and get us up out of the atmosphere.
The Argo quickly ascends into high orbit. Leaving the ship in the care of IQ-9, Captain Wildstar calls a staff meeting to bring the crew up to date on all that has happened.
So, Schneider was the traitor. What did you do with him?
Neither Vega or I felt comfortable transporting him back to the ship in the middle of that furball. We left him on the surface with a small medical kit.
It was better than he deserved.
And Philippe?
We brought his body back with us. He's in medbay.
Geordi, what's the ship's status? Did Hans leave us any surprises?
IQ's been checking over the whole ship, system by system. But it doesn't look like Hans sabotaged anything before he left. We've got some moderate damage to the aft main guns and auxiliary engines. Crews are on it right now. Good news is we've solved the ECS issue. We had a couple of shorts in the system. We've got full power now.
I see. Good work. Now, I know this is going to sound odd, but I think we found the information we were looking for.
We did?
Sort of. Doc, bring our guest in, please.
What the? The priest we took prisoner?
I know what this is gonna sound like, but Xavier and... we had these visions.
We must journey to the capital system of the Empire. Specifically, to its outermost planet. Only there can we find what you will require to face what is to come.
This is ridiculous! We waltz into that system and we're dead?
It is the only way. Zordar himself said so.
What? His ghost came to you in a vision, did he?
Colin.
Huh? Mac?
Remember the forest? He said it was Zordar. It was.
Just what is there that we need?
The only thing that can safely contend with a comet fortress. Another one.
But Chamorta has all the others with him, doesn't he?
Yes and no. What remains at the Armory World is not another fortress, but rather the prototype for the cometary gravitic drive itself. With it, this ship could sustain combat with the fleet en route to Earth.
Why in all the beyond should we believe you?
Because more than just your world is at stake. When Zordar's ghost came to me, he showed me something. The throne world, dead and lifeless. Somehow I knew that the rest of the Empire was the same. The entire galaxy, and yours as well, dead. The Emperor is bent on a course that will lead to unending war. Ultimate destruction. I cannot stop him. Not without your help. Please.
Geordi, get all the repair work done as quickly as you can. Drake, Sam, get the coordinates for the Comet Empire capital from Xavier, and begin preparations for a long-range warp.
Yes, sir.
Down in the core of the ship, in the quiet dimness of the deserted wing of sickbay, May Gideon stands beside the still inert form of her wingmate and friend, Philippe de la Roche. For nearly an hour, she stands silent, almost willing the man to sit up, to laugh, to live. But the body lays shrouded on the bed before her. Finally, tears in her eyes, it all becomes too much.
ship, you jerk. Why didn't you tell me? All those times, all the scrapes we had, all the troubles we got into, and you never once... Ah! How could you do that? It was all jokes with you. Jokes and silly stunts. Never once did I... Could have told me, you know. It would have made things so much simpler. How could you... Could you drop that on me and then... How dare you die on me when you... When you finally said... Oh, God.
May?
Oh, Pops. I suppose I shouldn't be in here right now, but I...
It's all right, May. You can stay here as long as you want. I'll leave you be.
No, Pops, I could actually really use the company right about now.
Sure, honey, sure.
Pops, have you ever been so sure about someone, and then they turn out to be different?
How do you mean?
I met Philippe for the first time back in the academy.
And you became friends?
Heck no, we hated each other's guts. He was so cocky, so absolutely sure he was the best. He took it kind of personally when I beat his grades.
So what happened?
His family was in a shuttle crash. We were on training assignment in the area, so I got added to the search team. Philippe was out of his mind with worry, so I let him backseat in my recon ship. While we were searching our sector, he just started talking about his folks, his sister. I told him about my family, too.
Did you find them?
Yeah. It was bad. His sister was alive but injured, and his folks, they didn't make it. We got Sarah back to the medics, and it was going to take a cosmic event to separate those two on that trip.
I'll bet.
Philippe spent a while getting her situated with other family. When he came back to the training post, he didn't say anything for 2 days. When he finally opened up again, he was changed. I mean, he was still a sarcastic little putz, but it wasn't mean anymore. And that's when we became friends.
And he followed you into the home guard?
Followed is not the right word. When I decided to infiltrate the home guard, he figured out what I was up to and told me he was not going to let me risk my skin in there without someone to watch my back. I suppose I should have figured it out then.
What?
How he felt about me. That he loved me. Why would he keep something like that quiet?
Well, maybe he was afraid you didn't feel the same way. Or maybe he didn't want to change your friendship.
Maybe. It just wasn't like him, though, you know? Or me, for that matter. How could I have been so blind?
Well, it's hardest to see something that's standing right in front of you sometimes. Especially when it's right under your nose.
What do you...
May?
Vega?
Case in point.
I was worried. I thought you might,
Well, I got rounds to do. Why don't you two go find a quiet spot and talk things over,
That's a good idea, Pops. Thanks for listening.
Anytime, Sunshine. Now you kids run along.
As the doctor turns to go about his duties, Vega and May quickly leave the medbay. They walk along together in companionable silence for a time, neither wanting to intrude on the other's thoughts. It isn't until Vega realizes that somewhere along the way, his hand had closed about hers, and hers about his own, that he finally musters the courage to speak.
I'm sorry. About what happened, you know? I mean, it...
Mike, why are you always apologizing? What happened wasn't your fault. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around the whole thing. I mean, Hans was working for the Empire? Who saw that coming?
That wasn't what I meant. Omei, You know, about what Philippe said.
Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, I'm trying to say this is awkward.
Oh, tell me about it.
I know that Philippe meant a lot to you and that things are going to be really tough for a while. If you need me, I'm here for you. As a friend. Well, anything else, you know, we can deal with when you're ready.
Like, one thing I've learned over and over again, tomorrow is never guaranteed. I loved Philippe like a brother, but I kept the fact that he wanted more from me for so long. I'm not gonna make the same mistake.
What do you mean?
Are you always this thick? Come here.
What?
There. Does that help clear things up?
No. Really? No?
Well, I'm sure you'll figure it out eventually. I hope.
At a staging area, one light year from our solar system, the Comet Empire Armada gathers. From all corners of the Andromeda and Milky Way galaxies stream warships of every size and shape. They number in the thousands. Cruisers, destroyers, carriers, and battleships. Only skeleton defenses remain in their holdings as all their might gathers around the fist of the Empire, the four comet fortresses. Red, blue, and gold, all in orbit around the pulsing black cometary mass of the Sword of the Emperor, the Prime Fortress. In his grand audience chamber, the Comet Emperor holds council before the final onslaught.
Admiral Khan, is our fleet assembled?
It is, Lord.
What news of the enemy's defenses?
Light. They have approximately 50 ships of various class, all clustered behind the system's largest asteroid field.
The debris of Jupiter and its moons?
I'm afraid so, my prince. They hope to use it as a shield, since any warp vector we take to Earth must pass through the field.
Bah. Perhaps in hindsight, destroying that gas giant in our invasion was a trifle unwise. We shall have to clear the nuisance before we can proceed. Amass all of our missile destroyers. Warp them ahead of us to the belt. Have them carve a path for the rest of our fleet. We will warp to the belt soon after they begin, so the Earther scum can see their doom is upon them.
And the defending flotilla?
Annihilate it. The advanced ship should still have enough firepower to achieve that.
Very well, sire.
What news of Deslar?
He has not been seen, nor has there been any sign of the Galman fleet. It appears he has abandoned his supposed allies.
He has a habit of doing that. After we finish with Earth, we will hunt down that traitorous dog.
Indeed we will, Father. But what of the Argo? Has it been seen amongst the defenders?
No, Prince. The Argo is also absent. Our best assessment indicates it may be ferrying refugees, as it is the only warp-capable ship the Earthers have.
That we know of.
A task for you then, son. Once the Earth is destroyed, you may hunt down the rogue ship and destroy it.
Yes, Father.
Then we are concluded. Dispatch the destroyers, Admiral. Clear us a path to our prize and let us end this farce once and for all.
The Comet Empire stands poised to wipe humanity from the cosmos. Only a handful of defenders stand against their inexorable tide. Our one lone hope lay with the Star Force, which even now, in our greatest peril, is unaware that the final battle is far closer than they fear. For the planet Earth, night has fallen, and the coming of dawn depends solely on a single battleship out amongst the stars. You've been listening to Sea of Stars, Episode 10, a Forward Momentum production. Based on Uchu Senkan Yamato, created by Leiji Matsumoto and Yoshinobu Nishizaki, and Star Blazers, which is copyright Voyager Entertainment. Heard in this episode were Sean Hill as Michael Vega, Scott Breakall as Neville Drake, Zach McHugh as Hans Schneider, Philippa Ballantyne as Sam Vandam, Dave Frizzell as Jordy Venture, Emery Kinney as Max Stevens, Joe Harrison as Captain Derek Wildstar, Silas Carter as May Gideon, Alan Smithy as Philippe de la Roche, and Peg DeGrazia as Trelena. Also heard were Jim Perry as Emperor Jamorta, Eric Olp as Prince Darkal, Jonathan Edward Dolnier as Admiral Khan, Nathan B. Butler as Xavier, Devlin James as Pops McClendon, Matthew R. Smathers as Major Terrell, and Jeffrey Lincoln as the Comet Empire Tech. This is Mark the Encaffeinated One Kilfoyle. The episode was written and directed by Devin Cox. Music for the series is drawn from the original Uchu Senkan Yamato anime, composed by Hiroshi Miyagawa and Kentaro Haneda. Property-specific sound effects drawn from the Quest for Iskandar and Comet Empire DVD box sets, available through Voyager Entertainment. Sea of Stars is a non-profit fan production produced for the enjoyment of the fans. All rights to Star Blazers, Uchu Senkan Yamato, or any other copyrighted materials herein, including any unoriginal music and sound effects, are reserved to their original creators. No infringing claims are intended.
This program is dedicated to my fiancée, Jen. Out of awkward beginnings, wonderful relationships bloom.
Forward Momentum.
For those of you just joining us, a rogue boomer has appeared in the industrial area of southern Megatokyo. The AD police have responded and are about to move in. We take you now live to the scene.
First squad up. Second squad, assume right flank and cover.
It's moving! It's charging us!
Weapons free! Weapons free!
Go get some, you dumb robot! Yeah, your mama's a lawnmower!
It's no good! Our men are just bouncing off that thing!
Daniels! Daniels, report!
Crud, it's slaughtering us! Pull back! Pull back!
Lightsabers, take it down!
Forward Momentum presents a new take on an anime cyberpunk classic, Bubblegum Crisis, the audio drama. Coming soon to ForwardMomentumProductions.com.
Remember when I was a child, it wasn't so easy. You didn't have these fancy-schmancy brain implants. You had to use a computer. And you didn't just get information beamed directly into your head. You had to listen to the Weird Show to get your news. Fortunately, that's still running.
TheWeirdShow.com.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to this Forward Momentum production. If you'd like to hear more, you can visit our website at, all one word, ForwardMomentumProductions.com. There you'll find links to all our audio dramas, as well as Forward March, our news and information podcast. If you'd like to send us some feedback, you can send us an email at ForwardMomentumProductions@gmail.com, use the contact form on our website, or you can leave us a voicemail at North American Area Code 585-54-AUDIO. 585-54-AUDIO. Thank you once again for listening.